What is the definition of holy? What about the definition of unholy? There are other aspects of holiness or unholiness that we can look at, and I think we will towards the end of the message. But what is clean versus unclean? These are some of the questions that I think we can answer today via Scripture. Some time ago, I had been smoking in my teens. I smoked for a couple years, and I had quit a couple different times. And yeah, quitting is easy. Starting up back up is easy as well. Well, one thing that I found that worked was taking my last pack of cigarettes and emptying them out into a glass of water. Now that water was clear. It was clean. It was pure. But once those cigarettes got in there, it muddied the water. It made the water putrefied. It made it unclean in a sense. And I think we can look at holiness versus unholiness, or cleanness versus uncleanness. We can look at that glass with the cigarettes in it as an example. It wasn't too long ago that I was on a hiking trail riding my bike, and there's another, of course there's others out there, another bicyclist had stopped, and guess what he was doing? Smoking a cigarette. It didn't look right, just as the glass of water didn't look right, being all, filthy with the brown muck of the nicotine and other chemicals that are in the cigarettes. And, of course, they've proven, I think, without a shadow of a doubt, that cigarettes do kill people. And so, we're to avoid things that are harmful to us. But what is the definition of holy? Holy can mean, biblically speaking, sanctified or set apart by Yahweh for a special purpose. In other words, it's not common. Yahweh's Holy Spirit, for example, literally means set apart breath. And so when we consider scripturally what holy is, and in fact we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it talked about the family being sanctified, the children being holy. Yahweh has a way of protecting, setting apart a family, even if there's just one believer in that family. Protection, a hedge, Yahweh is involved with that family because of one believer. And so we find that there are blessings to be in Yahweh, to be in His Spirit, to be seeking Him in our lives. And of course, Yahshua is there with us as well. Now, we are a type of living temple with Yahweh's Spirit living inside of us. We have been made holy by the blood sacrifice of Messiah Yahshua. We are to abide in His holy word and His Holy Spirit, not walking contrary to either, but walking in both. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 16. I think Paul wanted to get this across to those in Corinth because those in Corinth had a number of issues, a number of problems. And, realistically, we're really no different. We have problems today. When we look at some of the issues with the assemblies in Revelation 2 and 3, we see parallels today, I think, which it's just the way it is. But in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of Yahweh and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of Yahweh, Yahweh will destroy him. For the temple of Yahweh is holy, and that is what you are. So this is a warning. Don't destroy your body. Don't take in things that are going to harm you. And the excuse can be made, what about those cakes and those pies and all that fattening foods that are out there? Well, I think, within reason, we can certainly trim the fat off of a steak and do these type of things to try to be as healthy as we can. But knowing that smoking kills, that's... And in fact, we can think back about bringing strange fire into the into the temple. That wasn't looked upon very well by Yahweh. So smoking is something that I think is unclean for us today. But there are other things. I mean, we could consider the idea of unclean foods, pork and these other type of things. Those are unclean for us. But there's physical and there's spiritual applications. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8. Are there other things that are made holy by Yahweh? I certainly believe that there are, and I think we can look at a couple things here in Exodus. Exodus 20, starting in verse 8, going through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yahweh, your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He set it apart. And it gives us, we're given instruction that we are to come together in this set apart time that Yahweh has given and set apart. Let's go down to, over to chapter 31, and starting in verse 13 there. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 13. But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, plural, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. And whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. So he's even referring back to creation, in which this particular day has been set apart. It seems like a silly question, but was Israel to be holy to Yahweh? Well, I think we just read that, and we don't have to turn there, but Exodus 19:6 basically says that Israel is or was a holy nation. Now, an also seemingly silly question, are we to be a holy people to Yahweh today? Because a lot of people will say, well, that was for Israel. That's not for us. Well, Israel is mentioned about I shouldn't say about, because I actually came up with 2,583 times throughout the scriptures concerning land, people, the person. Of course, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He had 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes of Israel, so on and so forth. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. We know that there is a lot to be said about what Yahweh is doing, and that not one kernel of Israel shall be lost in the process of being grafted back into the family, these type of things. But in Ephesians 2, verses 12 through 13, we read, remember that you were at that time separated from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. But now in Messiah Yahshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah, brought into the whole house of Israel, the 12 tribes, by Messiah's blood. It's not a small thing. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Keeping in mind the question, Are we to be a holy people to Yahweh today? You know, we know that Israel's example is written down as a bit of a warning and an admonition for us not to be turning away from Yahweh like they did and doing wrong, unclean, unholy things as they did. And of course, they were divorced. The northern tribes, line of Judah continued because the Messiah had to come through Judah. But they were also dispersed in a sense, and difficulties have been on them since then, and upon the lost 10 tribes. But notice this, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but you, who? Those in Messiah, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for Yahweh's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are a holy people, but we are not to sin as Israel did. Notice in verse 7 and 8 of 1 Peter, this precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and rock of offense, for they stumbled because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. So what are we to do? Well, I think there are a number of things that we are striving to do, that we need to do, that we should not neglect. Continuing on in 1 Peter 2 and verse 10. For you once were not a people, but now you are a people of Elohim. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, among the nations, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify Yahweh in the day of visitation. So what are we to do? We're to live correctly, setting an example for others. It's not just about teaching, it's about doing, it's about witnessing it by an example of our own lives. And we do this coming to Sabbath. We have to explain to some of our employers that this is what we're doing. We go to the feasts, these type of things. We eat clean. You know, I've never been invited to an employee pork luau or whatever they call it. But if I had of, I would have said, I can't go. And I'm sure they would have said, well, why not? And I could have said, because I don't eat pork. Because Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14 explain that we are not to be eating unclean things. We are to live correctly, setting an example. Now, there is a difference between holy and unholy, if we haven't already gotten that from what we've seen here. But in Leviticus chapter 10, if you turn there, Leviticus chapter 10, and starting in verse 8, Leviticus chapter 10, starting in verse 8, keeping in mind there is a difference between holy and unholy. Yahweh then spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or drink, drink strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. You know, the punishment many times is death. We read that about the Sabbath in Exodus. If you do this, guess what? You die. It's pretty harsh, and a lot of people look at the Old Testament and go, wow, you know, that he was mean back then. He's changed, though. He's very nice and loving today. But, you know, that was a physical death, and today I think it's more profound, the type of sentence we could receive being in the body, if we don't pay attention to what we're to be doing, if we go gallivanting off in a different direction and reject what we've been given, the end result is not only a first death, but a second death, an eternal death. The lake of fire awaits those who reject Yahweh. So it's very important. I mean, I don't want to hound the subject too much, but it's important that understanding is understood, so that we know out of respect for Yahweh, not necessarily fear, but out of respect for Him and His ways, that we stay on the straight and narrow path. It's important. It's life and death. Let's see, where were we? Okay, let's go back into Leviticus 10 and read up to so that you will not die. And, you know, these instructions are for the people's own good. They're for our own good today. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And so, in verse 10, and so as to make a distinction between holy and profane, between the unclean and the clean. So we're to practice things, we're to make sure that we're doing what's right versus what's wrong. Our senses get refined and we become more sensitive, and our conscience isn't seared with a hot iron. But we are sensitive to Yahweh's instructions so that we can do them and so that we'll be pleasing in His sight. Notice skipping down to verse 12. Then Moses spoke to Aaron and to his surviving sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, take the grain offering that is left over from Yahweh's offerings by fire and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. Again, the distinction, you know, what is common, what is set apart. Certain things that we look at here. Titus in chapter Titus 3 and chapter 5. In fact, I didn't write this one down, so let me go ahead and turn there with you. Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 5. We are to follow the lead of His Spirit, as it is not our own doing that makes us holy, but His doing. Titus 3, and starting in verse 5, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Yahshua the Messiah, our Savior. Yet we can become defiled. This is important. It's important to know so that we don't become defiled. We can become defiled and unclean if we determine to do wrong and walk contrary to the instructions and to the Spirit of Yahweh. Water in a glass idea. Same can be related to unclean food as we are still physical. But there is also the spiritual application. Yahweh's Spirit will not and cannot stay in an individual who chooses to walk an alternative and unclean and unholy path and lifestyle. So, you know, yes, Yahweh will not forsake us. But yes, we can forsake Him. And that's the point. It's important to know these things and to understand what is right, what is wrong. Because the world in general has blurred the lines. They can no longer see what's right and what's wrong for the most part. So how should a holy people be? I think we're to be as holy as, to be a holy people like Yahweh is holy. I think this is what we're told, Leviticus 11. You can turn there, Leviticus 11 and verse 44, starting there. Leviticus chapter 11, 44 and 45. For I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall make for yourselves, or you shall not, rather, make for yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm the earth. For I am Yahweh who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. The spiritual application of this would, of course, be that we are, it's an allusion to us coming out of the world. Israel came out of Egypt. We're to come out of the world, out of the symbolic Egypt. We're to sanctify ourselves in the sense of doing those things which are pleasing Yahweh and accepting of Yahshua's sacrifice for the remission of our sins, the past wrongs that we've done, so that we can start walking correctly. That prophecy, of course, is listed in a couple different areas where we are given the Spirit for the specific purpose of obedience, of being able to walk correctly, and given the help of that Spirit to be with us. Yahweh says, be holy, and then shows we are to follow His Word given by His Spirit. In chapter 19 of Leviticus, I hope this is correct because I left off Leviticus. I think it's Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, 1 through 3. It says, then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Okay, he mentions, you shall reverence your mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. Is that it? Is that all we need to do? And I was watching a teen ministry on television, teaching other teens, and the whole message included three verses from Matthew 22, verses 37, 38, and 39. I'll just read it to you. It says, and he, speaking of Yahshua, said to them, you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost command. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the minister, this teen minister, teaching these other teens, said, it's so easy. That's so easy. And they went off and did some plays and some other activities. But out of the whole message, that was what was taken from Scripture. And of course, we've looked at this before, and we know you can't love Yahweh if you murder someone, and you know, it goes back to the commandments. And, you know, when you look at the Ten Commandments, those first five can be shown to be pointing upwards. Those last five are pointing outwards. Yahshua knew the word that Yahweh had put forth. And, you know, he's just reiterating what Scripture says. Boil it down in a sense. He could even just say love. Let's just love one another. Well, we can't just love one another by stealing and cheating and blaspheming and doing things against the law. It makes no sense. But there is a real surface teaching with absolutely no depth, no depth of Yahweh's word, and people are eating it up. And they think, wow, that's great. I just believe. I just, it's so easy. You know, the word says that, you know, the straight and narrow path is hard-pressed. That's what that Greek word, phlebo, means. I haven't yet looked in it, in the Aramaic on it, but I suspect it's a parallel type word, meaning, you know, difficult. It's not always easy. And we go through difficulties in this life to enter into eternal life. That's what Yahweh's word says. So when I hear minister saying, it's easy, I'm thinking, you're wrong. It's not accurate. Now, it's true that Yahshua's burden is light. He's not going to stand over us with a lead pipe. But he is coming back with a rod of iron. So we do have choices that we can make. And, of course, we're told in Scripture to choose life, to choose those things which are right, which lead into eternal life. That's why we're given the word. As reading through Harmony of the Gospel, it's called Harmony of the Gospels in Modern English by Fred R. Coulter. And he says, he gives Matthew 15:17 and also Mark 7:19. I'll just read these scriptures to you. But, you know, a lot of people look at verses and they'll pull it and go, this is what this says, but it's not really what it's saying. And I think we may recall having looked at these verses before, but let me just read you Matthew 15:17 as it's written in this harmony of Gospels here. Do you not perceive that everything that enters the mouth goes into the belly and is expelled into the sewer? What is that saying? Mark 7:19. He writes in his modern English translation, for it does not enter into his heart, but into the belly, and then passes into the sewer, purging all food. What is that saying? King James Version also says purging all food. Looked into a couple others, and notice what they say. The Message Bible. That took care of dietary quibbling. Yahshua was saying that all foods are fit to eat. Really? Wow. That's so easy. The New Century Version. When Yahshua said this, he meant that no longer was any food unclean for people to eat. That's so easy. Now I don't have to be concerned with these laws of unclean and clean. I can do whatever I want. It's so easy. It's so shallow. And there's no depth. Except that teachings like this lead people to death. Because it's opposite of what Yahweh's word is teaching. They put their own little twist on these scriptures, and it's just not good. Acts 10:15 is another area people like to take and say all food is clean. You don't have to turn there, but it's Peter eating unclean. And Acts 10:15 says, and again a voice came to him a second time, what Elohim has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. But the whole gist of that is, it's people. Yahweh is saying to Peter, look, I'm going to cleanse these people and bring them back to me. And they'll be clean. They will no longer be unclean. You know, Peter said to Yahweh, I've never eaten anything unclean. He saw this vision of these unclean animals, and he was told to eat. He said, no, I can't do that. And, you know, this is something like 20 years after the Messiah had already been dead and been raised from the grave. Peter didn't think things had changed, and now everything is so easy, you know. So be aware. Don't be deceived. Because there's a lot of deception out there. What is one thing that the most religious, Bible-believing people say is holy, but by their actions actually deny it? What is it that most religious people claim is holy, but by their actions actually deny it? Leviticus 20 and verse 3. His name is holy, is basically what it says. And shouldn't a holy people be using his holy name? You know, it's good to go over these things. I know we've touched upon these things, and some of these things are just basics, but, you know, Lord is not his name. It's not the Father's name. Lord is connected to the deity of Baal, as in Baal-zebub, Lord of the Flies, a mound of dung, basically. And God is not the Father's name, as it is associated with the deity of Fortune and every other false and non-existent deity. And I say non-existent, because they only exist in the minds of the ones that worship them. Just like the idols of old, people have idols in their minds. But, you know, we have so many out there that are just deceived. They just don't know what they're doing. And I think, for the most part, they're innocent in that I don't think they realize what they're doing. And so there's going to be an opportunity, I think, for them to start understanding. But it's going to be in Yahweh's own timing. And, you know, this can get into a whole another study of first fruits and just how many are going to be there and what that whole process is. I mean, we're getting given a snapshot of what Yahweh is doing, but beyond, you know, revelation that we receive in the book of Revelation, we're not able to see. But we can kind of gather that Yahweh is not going to be done with everything just yet. Okay, let's shift gears. You know, I talked about getting into some other things that maybe are somewhat connected to holiness. Because I think it's important to understand the following question and the biblical answer to it. Can one be a moral person and not walk with Yahweh? Genesis 17:1, Abraham was called out to walk with Yahweh. Genesis 17:1 says, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh," not the Lord, "Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am El Shaddai,'" in other words, the Almighty, "'walk before me and be blameless.'" Okay, "walk before me and be blameless." Let's go over to Genesis 26. Now Abraham, now listen closely, Abraham fulfilled his calling to be holy or blameless. I think we can make the connection there. Genesis 26:5 says, "Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Even before Mount Sinai, in which the law was given. This is before that time. Before, you know, just like the Sabbath. The Sabbath was set apart from creation. But when we look at holy, the term holy in the Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, 11th edition, it says, "Exalted or worthy of complete devotion is one perfect in goodness and righteousness." And it also says, "devoted entirely to the deity or the work of the deity, a holy temple, holy prophets, etc." Well, I think there's a little different explanation of what holy is. After all, you know, the Bible is holy, but it makes a good point saying, as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. In other words, holy. When we think back about Abram, you know, Yahweh told him, "I am Yahweh Almighty, I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless." I think what he's telling Abram at that time was basically, be holy. And, you know, he did obey him. He kept his charge, his commandments and statutes and laws. And yet you'll find people saying today, "You can't do that. Wait a minute. Our forefather did it. Others have done it. Paul himself said he was blameless concerning the law." Genesis 6:9. Noah walked with Yahweh and was blameless. Genesis 6:9 says, "These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with Yahweh." Both Abraham and Noah were known to be men of faith, but most forget that it was their obedience to Yahweh that allowed them to be faithful in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. As James said in the New Testament, "Faith without works is dead. A chain with a broken link is basically worthless unless that link can be fixed." And when we consider all these things, I do think that we're looking at some good things which are to be included in a person that's holy. But the question was, can one be a moral person and not walk with Yahweh? And I think the answer is yes. There's a lot of seemingly pretty good people out there. They seem to live their lives pretty nice and good. They mow their lawn. They're nice to their neighbors. They don't kick the dog. The list goes on. They're nice. They're moral. They're upstanding citizens. They work for a living. They pay their taxes. And the list goes on. But if they're not keeping the Sabbath, if they're not eating clean according to Scripture, they're not kosher according to Scripture, they're not holy, and they're not walking with Yahweh. But they can be, overall, pretty moral person. I think a lot of people are fooled by the idea that, you can maybe feel good and do some good things and think you're going to be okay. But I think there's going to be a lot of surprised people, even people who thought that they were doing good. Well, especially when they're told, when they say, "Master, Master," and then Yahshua says, "Be gone with you, I never knew you." That's going to be a sad day. That's going to be a heart-wrenching day. I think it's time that we try to do more to reach out and help people and help them to understand what holy is, what versus what unholy is, and that we need to get people getting in line with Yahweh's word and to be a holy people. Thinking of a broken link in a chain, Christianity and Judah, in general, have a missing link. And I'm not talking about the evolutionary missing link either. But when you think about it, at some point the links of the law and faith got separated for some people. Now we see today Yahweh restoring these links as a few people start to seriously realize that the faith in Yahshua by itself, and alternatively the law by itself, is not going to save them. And we know that there are those out there saying, "I'm saved. I'm doing good. I'm keeping all this law. I'm a good individual." But yet, without the Savior's sacrifice, what good is all of this if you reject the other? And it goes the other way. What good is accepting of Yahshua if you don't do what his Father says to do and what he himself says to do? And we know that he didn't live for himself, but he lived and walked as his Father wanted him to and wants us to. So we're given those footsteps to walk in. Can a moral person, can one be a moral person and not walk with Yahweh? Well, the simple answer is yes. But can a moral person be holy without walking with Yahweh by doing the things he tells us? Well, the simple answer is no. A person becoming reformed or changed to be a good, upstanding citizen may be moral, but will not be considered holy and faithful unless he fully submits to Yahweh's word. Do we understand what being holy is? Well, I think we do. I think there's enough in Scripture showing us that. I also think Yahweh will finish the good work he has started in us, as he has promised in his word, if we do not walk away to become unclean and therefore unholy once again. It can happen. Yes, Yahweh is merciful. He also says he will not be mocked. Therefore, as Scripture says, be holy as he is holy. May Yahweh bless.